Randy here from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, part of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio, and we're picking up from yesterday on making decisions. You know, as a follower of Christ, I think this can be one of the most troublesome, difficult, tricky areas for us to navigate in the world. I mean, just people in general, how do we make decisions? We make decisions based on what my desire, what do I want, what is my own personal goal, how does this impact me personally or my family, or how is it going to impact the bottom line or a goal that I pursue? And so decisions are often made sometimes economically, sometimes they're made emotionally, sometimes they're made for the betterment of the world. And not that any of those are wrong, but as a follower of Christ, we're to approach decision-making, even though the decision itself may be the same, but we have to approach it. If we want to be intentional, if we really want to truly be a follower of Christ, maybe in a little different way. And I asked the question yesterday, and we're going to get into some callers that want to share. What's the process you all go through? Shouldn't we as followers of Christ be making decisions in a little different way than everybody else? Maybe the decisions, again, might be similar to those decisions, but how we get there from point A to point B may be different. And the verse I shared yesterday is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, two verses. Trust in the Lord with your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek Him in all that you do. 1, 2, 3. Trust. Don't lean on your own understanding. Seek Him. And then He's going to show you the path. And what is that path? How do you know what path to take? Someone to marry, a job to take, investments, handling your finances, down to, how you spend your time. What's God's will? What's His plan? And how do we make those decisions? Big deal. This is a big issue. And that's what we're talking about today. And you can join us on our storyline at 888-888-1717.
Hello, Dr. Randy, Pastor Mike in Phoenix, Arizona. And, there were a few people on the radio that had stated that they had done or believed what God had told them to do by selling what they need to sell and move over to 80 or do certain things, or maybe the comment of, opening a certain business. Sometimes it's God telling us to do something does not necessarily mean that we're going to be successful in what He's telling us to do. So we kind of sometimes have to look at the things in our life and go, Lord, I really believe that's what you told me to do, and I did it. If there's anything else you needed me to do, I'll do it. So kind of like God telling Abraham to go sacrifice the son. Well, he went up to the mountain. He didn't do it. He was going to do it, but he didn't sacrifice. But yet he came back successful. And same thing with us. If we really, really believe that God is telling us to do something really in prayer and we're seeking God, we really believe what it is, we should just do it. And as long as it doesn't contradict His word, of course. If it's not successful or it's not whatever it is, it's whatever it is. It's just the way God tells us. It's for our sake also. So God bless you and thank you for your program.
All right, Pastor Mike. So contrary. Anyway, it's absolutely contrary to what the world would be telling us. Wouldn't it? I mean, this isn't what you're going to learn in your decision-making class at the university, generally, which, by the way, I never had. I've never heard of a decision-making class. And I would say to pastors, you want to have some teaching for young people. Intentional living in your church as a curriculum and helping young people make decisions biblically, as a follower of Christ, be a huge part of what a church, I think, and certainly Christian schools, helping young people make decisions, a curriculum along that line would be a powerful thing. Just a side note. So we're talking about this thing of decisions. How do you do it? Let me get to the calls here. Shauna is on the line in Georgia. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. How do you, this decision-making thing, it can be really confusing for believers, but how do you approach it?
Heads up, my son's going to get in the car in a second. I'm in the school pick line. But I would say a decade or so ago, I was going through a really hard time with my marriage. And I pray for people to come to my path. I went to my pastor, and then I actually had some patients that I was talking to one day who told me their story, and they gave me a frog, a little fake frog, and they ordered them by the hundreds, and they would give them to people and tell them it was to remind them to F-R-O-G, forever rely on God. Mm-hmm. And they actually gave me several, and I put them, you know, in my bathroom and on my dashboard, and every time I looked at it, or every time I realized that I was worried again, I'd be like, I'd repent that I picked it up again, and look at it as an opportunity to hand that back over to God over and over and over again, knowing that if I was thinking about it or worrying about it, I was at risk of leaning right back into my own understanding.
Yeah.
And it took a while, like, to develop just a habit, something that I don't think would be an exaggeration, that I did hundreds of times a day at the hardest part. But I felt helped me fine-tune being able to hear from God.
Amen. Give us what that stood for again. F-R-O-G stands for?
Forever rely on God.
Forever rely on God. How has this changed your life, Shauna?
Well, I'm still married. So it changed my life because I realized during that time that my decision making could not ever be based on how I was feeling at any given point in time, or you know, what felt easy or hard, but rather what did God have in it for me.
Yeah.
It taught me how to hear from God. There was actually a day where I was crying in desperation. I was like, when are you gonna do X? And about that time, my sleeping four-year-old in the back seat said, God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. And I looked back, and there was literally drool coming out of his mouth, and he is dead asleep. And I wasn't sure I was going to be able to keep driving. I was like, okay, you didn't say I'm going to do X, but you said, would you just sit back? I'm still working.
Amen. Wow. And I bet you keep that frog visible every day, don't you?
I do have frogs still around, yes.
Good for you. Thank you, Shauna. Listen, sometimes we need that physical reminder. I wear a little wristband every day that I had made for myself many, many years ago. And since, we've produced thousands and thousands and thousands of them and given them out to people all over the country. It just says one thing, one thing. Just one thing. What is it, the one thing today that's going to bring glory to God? Maybe it's some sort of a reminder that you have that you physically are aware of or connected to every day that reminds you to keep your focus intentionally on Him. Thank you, Shauna. Hope it goes well. Got your son. Drive safely. Glad you're listening in beautiful Georgia. What do you all think about this decision-making at 888-888-1717?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Are you experiencing real freedom in your faith, or simply going through the motions? In Dr. Randy's message called Process for Faith, you'll learn how to move beyond routine faith and intentionally develop a deeper, more personal relationship with God.
Everything that we've said, everything that I've tried to share with you in this lesson, about growing in freedom in your relationship with Christ comes down to one thing. And that one thing is to be present with God every day.
Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. And many of you have done that and are doing that and joining in and on this journey of impacting people every day, teaching intentional living. What does it mean? Transformational, life transformational. Stories are fantastic, and we love hearing yours. Shauna just gave you a really great tip there on staying focused on everything comes from God and trusting Him, didn't she? All right, back to the calls. Benjamin is in Arizona. Hey there, how you doing?
I'm good, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Making decisions. How do you do it? What's the process you follow?
So the process I follow is really, I mean, it's simple to me because I've been practicing it for so long. If there's something weighing on my heart or a decision that I need to make, I think about that when I'm doing my morning Bible study, and instead of just opening up to where I'm normally studying, I kind of let the Spirit guide me through and open up the Bible and start reading it at just any given place wherever I open up to. And if I don't find my answers there, I sit back and reflect for a while and I talk to God. But then something that I was taught is really important is to make space and time to be quiet, to listen for God. We can ask God all the time and we can say, why aren't you answering me? But oftentimes I think as humans, we're too busy jumbled in our head to sit and take the silence to let God have the opportunity to guide us and speak to us.
Yeah. And does He speak to you?
He does. Recently, I've been estranged with my mother for the better part of 7 years, and I recently found out she was diagnosed with cancer and is doing chemo and all of these things, and so I had to really put it on my heart. Do I set our past down and try and have a new relationship with my mother? And It took me a good 2.5 weeks, Dr. Randy, before I finally was able to conclusively come to a decision and say, yes, you know, you need to find a way to go spend time with your mother. And I recently did. I went and spent the entire weekend with her. We had a really great time. And then she's actually going to be traveling down here to the Valley to spend time with us in our home again, too. So That's it's good. Been something that I had to put and give to God, because there was a lot of hurt in the past that I didn't want to work through. But I'm thankful that I did put it behind me, because now we have a whole new relationship.
Amen. That's powerful. That's great. Listening to the Lord. You know, when you talk about scripture, what I do often, I'm kind of a practical guy. If there's a topic or something going on in my head, I'll either get a concordance or I'll Google, what does the Bible have to say? And it gives me a whole pile of verses on a topic. It gets me thinking. And then like Stephen, who does Bible studies, he tells me that he loves to get on the wild goose chase of some idea. And then all of a sudden he's gone off on different trails to find out what the Bible's saying. But I'll tell you what, we know that we got to be careful. We're going to take a verse out of context. We got to be careful with that, obviously. But to really seek God's word and understanding and let it fill our lives. And that can lead us into really interesting ways when we come to be making decisions. All right. Thank you, Benjamin. Colleen, how are you today?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you for calling. How do you make decisions?
Well, I really like Benjamin's, you know, open the Bible and just start reading. And a lot of times if you submit things to the Lord, you know, wholeheartedly and really seek Him, that is a way I get answers too. But there's a scripture, and I know it doesn't really pertain to, you know, that scenario, but it says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, I will confirm all things, every word shall be established. And I think it's referencing where you bring somebody to the church and, you know, before the Lord, something they've done wrong.
Discipline.
But I find that, like, I can be seeking the Lord on something and I'll read it in the Old Testament or I'll read it in the New Testament. And, you know, it's like I read it in the Old and then I read it in the New, and then somebody will come along and say, oh, well, I really think you need to do this, or you know, I'll talk to a pastor about it and they'll confirm, you know, how I'm leaning, you know, is what the Lord is saying to me.
Yeah.
And I just have, you know, there's lots of scriptures in the Bible in, you know, that, you know, God may be talking to somebody else, but people apply it to their lives and it manifests.
Yeah. Well, in fact,
you know, it's how God speaks to us.
Absolutely. In fact, the Bible tells us many places we find it where there's safety in many counselors. There's safety in many counselors. And I would add safety in many of the right counselors. But the fact is there's safety in that. What does that mean? The reality is, come on, if you're a parent, let's just get real honest about what goes on. If you're a parent or grandparent, have you ever seen someone you love, someone that you know, someone that you care about, make a decision, and you know when the decision's being made that it's a dumb decision, that it's contrary to either common sense or biblical wisdom, biblical teaching? I mean, you just sort of know it, and you kind of know where that's going to lead. Now, we know God can still use that in their life, and I get that. But wouldn't it have been nice if they had come and sought some counsel from people who maybe down the road a little bit further? That's why I say when you're making important decisions, talk to people who are quicker, smarter, been down the road further, have experienced life, and have a relationship with God that can strengthen the kind of input that you're going to get from them for your own life. And that's really what I think Colleen is sharing with us. It's a powerful thing. We're talking about making decisions, and I hope you're getting some help today. It's helpful to me. It's a reminder about these things and how we handle them intentionally in our walk with Him. Here's another thing over the next 30 days you might want to consider is meditation. Maybe you've never meditated. Now, I'm thinking of meditation in terms of having a scriptural passage that you've read and you just, in quietness, away from family, away from radio and television and other distractions, you just meditate on that scripture. Or you meditate on a truth that you've heard. Maybe in your last service at church on Sunday, maybe your pastor said something that kind of really got stuck inside of your mind or your heart. To just meditate on that and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians 5:18 that we should be filled with the Spirit. It's a daily decision to allow the Spirit of God to fill our life. And times of meditation draw you closer to Him. That's an excerpt from a lesson of growing in your faith and finding freedom in your faith. And it's up on our website in our member exclusive area for those who are supporting the ministry every month. Thank you. Appreciate it. Many of you joined us in the last couple weeks here with that fundraiser that we went through together. What a blessing. Thank you for being a part of it. You can join us at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Or you can go to 888-1717 and press number 2. We're talking about decision-making. I was thinking we should do a show, Stephen, one of these days on the dumbest decision I ever made and what I learned from it and what God taught me about it through it. Because I believe every dumb decision should be a tuition for a learning experience in our life, right? And don't allow dumb decisions you've made to drag you down and destroy your life. There's freedom and forgiveness, and you paid the tuition, learned the lesson, and keep going. All right. Let me go back to calls here. Donna's on the line. Hi, Donna.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. How do you make decisions?
Well, it's funny that you just talk about dumb decisions. Mine was dumb. That's how I come to my decision, but I read the Bible and I pray. I just read the Bible when I was at church about years ago, and then my daughter got sick and I started reading the Bible, and it actually turned out for the good. She was really sick, and she was in ICU. They didn't think she was going to make it. 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And the dumb decision I did was go in the room, lock the door, close it, and just cry and scream and have a fit. So, and there was a Bible there in a drawer, and it fell out, and it fell out, and it opened up on 1 Samuel. I think it was like 127. I don't know if it went through 128 or not, or 28 or not, but it basically said, you know, ask him to God. Basically, you wanted whatever you want to do, give your child to God for his mm-hmm. whole life. Mm-hmm. And I closed my eyes, and after 4 hours of torment, I said, Lord, I love you. I love her. I trust you. I give her to you. And in my reading that little verse and praying, I just finally gave her over after all those hours of suffering for no reason. And that it was a little knock on the door, and the nurse said, would you like to come see your daughter? She's doing good. And it was just a relief, because God answered my prayer so quickly. All I had to do was say those words, and I was too stubborn or dumb to say those words. And yes.
Let me. How long ago was that, Donna?
1984.
You know, I bet you since 1984, you've been different in terms of how you see things. How's it impacted you when it comes to, you know, feeling like you're responsible or in control of everything?
I'm not responsible or in control of anything at all. I just give it to God, and I trust him, and his outcome is going to be what it should be, no matter what it is in the long run. It's his decision, not mine, and I trust it, and I go with it. It's not always what I want, but I know that it's right. You just, after you do that, after you live through something like that, you know,
yeah, amen. Well, you follow the fact God is ultimately in charge and we're not, and we stand on that truth, that's for sure. And that changed her life back in the 80s, and it's still changing her life today. Not an easy thing to do, no matter how old your kids are, young or old, to not feel like or be that sense of, well, anything in life I have to control, but to allow God to do the control in his life. Okay. Let's go to Corey in Michigan. Corey, what's your story for us today?
So I've been married 20 years, and I am unequally yoked. But in 2008, I came back to Christ, and because I was about ready to end my marriage, and just happened to be listening to the radio, and the song caught me, and I have not stopped listening.
Well, good.
It's been a slow journey back, you know, and I think that's the encouragement I want to give to others. You know, this isn't a quick fix sometimes. And for those of those people that it is, praise God. But for those of us that it's not, I say, you know, just stand strong and hang in there. And God is amazing. And it's been 7 years. Mm-hmm. And in that, I actually made a mission trip to India in 2012. And out of obedience to God. And at that point, my husband said, you know, he would leave me if I went.
Wow.
And I returned from that, and he had been an alcoholic, and when I came back, he actually ended up in jail, and that was the best thing that could have happened. So he hasn't had a drink since that day.
Wow.
And our marriage has slowly turned around, but I see that it's in my obedience to God that things are changing, because still not a believer, and so he has a different rule book than I have, but it doesn't make me exempt from the rules.
Well, you know, the good news, Corey, listen, you're telling a very important story here, that when we talk about being intentional, when we talk about being obedient to Christ, submitting to him, being Christ-centered, it doesn't mean everything gets better the next day. Our health doesn't necessarily all of a sudden get better, or our finances, or our marriage. Sometimes it does, but generally it's a process, but it's the obedience. And also for your husband, you know, when he comes to Christ, if he does, and we're praying that he does, you want that to be real. This is a guy not doing this just because he got in trouble, or he's not giving his life to Christ just because of you. It's got to be real in his life. And that's really the prayer, isn't it? That God would do in his life whatever God chooses to do in his as well as all of our lives.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, as I pray for him, you know, then God just opens up to me the things that I need to change in myself. And so, like, each year, I just have kind of a theme. So I started out, like, the year of the fruit, where I was just trying to really build on the fruits of the Spirit. And then, but last year, it was pretty amazing, because I had worked on speech prior to that. And last year, I decided to go with the year of the hug, because I think sometimes, you know, just physical intimacy. You know, I'm married to a man that sometimes doesn't make eye contact for days. So, you know, I become defeated in that. And so I could just feel God saying to me, you know, you have to do one thing. So I chose to hug him every single day. Well, it makes a big difference. Even if, you know, he's not looking at me, he doesn't want the hug, he takes the hug, and then he returns it. And, you know, by the end of this year, I just see the huge difference. You know, like, I'm receiving hugs that I'm not having to offer.
Well, you continue with the hugs, and what else are you going to add? What is the, you got one thing?
Yep, this year is about fear. So getting rid of my fear and more freely, you know, speaking up, because I get the little, you know, slap shots about Jesus, and I choose to sometimes just not respond. And, you know, God's given me the green light now of, and I basically, it just tends to be that I say, you know, I'm not better than you. I have Jesus. And, you know, something simple like that, where I'm now standing up for God, where I haven't felt like I could do that out of fear. And so this year is all about getting rid of my fear.
Well, that's a great decision to make, and a good way to go on through the rest of 2026, for sure. Thank you, Corey. Wrapping up the show today, a couple days in a row, talking about decision-making. Do you have a process? If you don't, you ought to, because decisions are coming in your life. Some are going to be big, some less so, but all of them important. And as a follower of Christ, you know, I think Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a great place to start. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, which sometimes can get you and get me into trouble. And in all your ways, acknowledge his presence. The Holy Spirit is here. Acknowledge him. He's in the room. He's here in us, in our presence. And then he can direct and will direct our path. And that sometimes can be happening instantly. Sometimes it takes the counsel and prayer and a process. But have a process that relies on him and not on yourself. Got to run. Thanks for being a part of the show. Love to hear your story, your comments, your feedback. 888-888-1717. On behalf of the whole team here today, thank you, Adam, for helping out. Stephen, Jennifer, and the rest of the team. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. And every day we remain a ministry of Intentional Life Media. Have a great day.